I'll be reading Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Good morning. I wanted to keep that scripture reading up there for a moment just to consider that, but encourage one another daily. You know, I think we have a unique opportunity this time of year, this season, to encourage a lot of people that might not necessarily be open to encouragement, that might not be open to, oh, as people say, the reason for the season. And so I just wanted to point that out. And I hope today that I can bring us a lesson that will encourage us. And the question that I have for us to consider today is, why did God send His Son as a baby? Now, if you're filling out the notes on the back of the bulletin, I guess the scriptural answer to that question can be found in prophecy. Isaiah talked about this day coming. And, you know, we need to take that very seriously. Prophecy teaches us that we can trust God, that we can absolutely trust God, that when He says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And we have, oh, I don't know how many prophecies recorded for us in the Bible. Anybody know off the top of your head?
Over 600.
There you go. That's a lot of proof that God means what He says. And He says what He means. And so that's kind of important. But I also think when we consider this question, why did God send His Son as a baby, we need to realize, too, that part of the reason that Jesus is such a perfect Savior is because of His human experience, if you will. He was man and He lived among us and He understands what we deal with. And it started as an infant for Him. And because of that, He is our perfect Savior. But as I think about this question, why did God send His Son as a baby? I just think about all those cool things that there are to think about when we think about babies. Babies amaze us, don't they? Let's just think about that. I mean, it's Ethan, right? You know, when Ethan walked in here today, you know, he was just the center of attention, wasn't he? You know, that new baby. You've got to see that new baby. Have you seen the baby yet? You know, I mean, it's all about it. And we have, oh, I've upset him. See, we all got to be quiet now. But babies amaze us, don't they? Think about the millions of miles that are driven every year just to visit the new babies. How many of you have ever made a trip to see the babies? You know, of course. And we'll continue to do that. But you know, this happened with Jesus as well. Nearby shepherds and magi from afar traveled many miles to see the baby Jesus. With each birth comes new hope and dreams for a brighter future and a better world. And isn't that what Isaiah said about the birth of Jesus? That He would rule this world with justice and righteousness. New hope came to the world with the birth of Jesus. And I love the picture of mom here, if you will, of Mary, Jesus' mother. As she heard all these amazing things about her son, as the visitors came and brought their gifts for her son, for her baby. Luke 2:19 says, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, how many times parents remember that, you know, when we brought those babies home or we first saw those babies when they came into the world. I don't know if you were like me, but the first time I laid my eyes on my babies, you know, I started thinking about, what are they going to be? What are they going to do? What kind of footprint are they going to leave on this planet? And it was always positive, and it was always exciting, and it continues to be. But those new births just bring us such an incredible joy. Babies are so special. We build special rooms to bring them into the world and to show them off. You know, I don't think it's as popular as it used to be. Those, what do we call them? The nurseries. You know, we go up and press our face against the window to look at the babies. I don't know who that baby is, but with those new babies, again, that idea of absolute hope and purity. As I've already alluded to, problems become opportunities through babies. Everything they do is cute, isn't it? I think that was Kathy. Oh, we didn't have iPods when you were that old. So. Even when they cry, it's cute, isn't it? He doesn't think so, but they do bring us such joy. Who did I upset now? Wisdom. See what babies do for us? Earth angels, aren't they? That's a new one I found. Had to add that to it. Well, I better see where I'm at in my notes here. Kind of get carried away in these pictures, as you can kind of see that. Boy, we're flying through the sermon now. Even eating's a new experience with babies, isn't it? Well, we have some pictures of Caleb and Tabitha dressed in cake on birthdays. Find out how quickly people read. They know what they want, don't they? Grandpa's ribs. You knew I was going to get my baby in there. And there he is. The day he was born. Keelan turned 6 on the 27th, so I don't know. The event, the birth of Jesus, that's what we're talking about. You know, most of us, by tradition, we refer to it as Christmas. We really don't know the exact date. But we know it was real, and we know that it changed the world. Amen? Absolutely. Now, there are a lot of traditions that many of us celebrate on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. And we've already celebrated one of those traditions in my family. Went up to Rochester a couple of weeks ago and celebrated with my grandmother's side of the family, who's 95 now, right? And this is a family gathering that has been taking place as long as she's been alive. So 95 years, and we think it went on a lot longer before she was born. And so it was kind of important to get together for that. And we always try to make that trip to be able to do that. Yesterday, how many of you listened to Iowa Public Radio yesterday? They had a wonderful program on that talked about all these wonderful traditions that people did. And as I heard about some of these, I thought, boy, our traditions really pale compared to what a lot of people do. But, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the brotherhood. Sometimes I don't mean to offend anyone, but sometimes we get caught up and we think about how important it is to do Bible things and Bible ways. And sometimes we look at all the traditions and the trimmings and everything around this. And I just want to say this about that. As sometimes we struggle sometimes with these traditions and their backgrounds, you know, like these pagan things that we hear about. I just always have this thought. Don't you think it's a pretty good description of a Christian's job to take something that is unholy, maybe, and make it something that's positive, something that can honor family, something that can honor God, something that can honor an event in the Bible that we know is real. And I think that's what a lot of us do with our family times and traditions at this time. But I also want to suggest to you too, as I already did with our scripture reading, is that we have an opportunity at this time of year that I think in many cases we don't get any other time of year. An opportunity that people will engage us in a conversation about Jesus. And how can that be a bad thing? And I encourage us to take advantage of that opportunity to share in that fellowship. As Jace is always trying to tell us, to be intentional. Let's be intentional with this opportunity and touch those people's lives. One of the traditions that I'm really excited about, that I'm sure a lot of you are too, Sam even mentioned it in class this morning, is about exchanging gifts. Even though I'm not a kid anymore, I still feel like a kid around the Christmas tree. And I look at those presents for my name. Don't you? Some of you are even shaking them. Yeah, I'm a little more mature than that now. I don't shake them anymore. I might pick them up and weigh them, though. I'm pretty excited about that. But I have to admit, too, I truly get more excited about giving. I really do. And I think a lot of us do. But God was the original gift giver, wasn't He? Absolutely was. This week, as we give and receive our gifts, let's not forget what God has given us. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 2, and let's read this story. Luke chapter 2. And let's go ahead. This, if you'd like to read along, I'm going to read the first 21 verses here, Luke chapter 2. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom His favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, and the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Unto us a child is born. Jesus was not the only gift, though, that we would receive from God. And I just want to refer to a few. In Ephesians chapter 4, and we're not going to go and look at all these. I'll just reference these, and the passages are noted in the bulletin. So if you'd like to look at them later, you have those references to you. But in Ephesians 4, we are told about this gift referred to as amazing grace. And the purpose of this is to be able to empower us with individual gifts that we might work together and build up the Lord's church. In Romans chapter 12, we are told about spiritual gifts, if you will. And in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. Again, different gifts given to different men according to the grace of God. According to the purpose of God, if you will. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'd like us to focus on in verses 12 and 13. You might want to note there the gift of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks an awful lot about the spiritual gifts. But what we can know for sure about this is that we all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism, as we know from other passages, and how important that gift is to us. Because it marks us, if you will, with a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance in that day of judgment. A day that has not yet occurred, but has been prophesied, much like the birth of Jesus was prophesied. And as I referred to before, we can know for a fact, because as Sam mentioned, over 600 prophecies have been mentioned in the Bible. Sam, how many of them has God failed on?
Zero.
And just as the birth of Jesus was prophesied, His return is also prophesied. But one of the gifts that He gives us, that Holy Spirit, guarantees that at that time, it not be a time to be fearful as God's children, but a time to anticipate, a time to expect, a time to look forward when we can spend an eternity with God. Not only are we the receiver of great gifts from God, but we are also told to share these gifts. Have you given the most precious gift that you can to your loved ones? As you consider maybe the shopping that you've been doing the last couple of weeks or last couple of months, or like some of you guys will do in the next couple of days. You don't have a lot of time here, guys, if you're still shopping. I actually finished my shopping this morning. And then I realized, no, I've got one more trip to make. So I think I'll be done later today. But as I consider all those packages that are under the Christmas tree and the ones yet hidden away in the house that Tabitha hasn't found, yet to be wrapped, have we given the most precious gift? Have I shared the story of how Jesus has changed my life? Have I shared the gospel and how the gospel has changed my life? Again, let's not lose the opportunity that is afforded to us by the season, if you will, to share. Well, first of all, to rejoice in the gifts that we've received from God. And to realize the opportunity that we have to share these gifts with others. God commands us to do so. God commands us to do so. And quite often, let's be honest, it's frustrating to share a gift sometimes that somebody doesn't want. But we know that they need it. Kind of reminds me of that time I bought Kathy a fishing pole. She needed a fishing pole. She didn't want it, though. And we chuckle about that. But how many times have we been frustrated because we know somebody so close to us, possibly even, that needs the gift of salvation, the gift of the gospel,
but they don't want it.
Or at least we assume they don't want it because they haven't received it yet. They haven't received it yet. You see, the thing about a gift, for it to truly be a gift, you have to receive the gift. And another way to look at that is to ask the question, have we unwrapped God's gifts yet to us? We unwrap the gift through our obedience to the gospel, if you will. We unwrap the gift of our salvation through our obedience to the gospel. And that's specifically baptism is how we receive that gift. Another precious gift that God has given us was to allow His Son to die on a cross for us. We need to remember that the gift is meaningless unless we receive it. Unless we receive it. There's one other passage I'd like to share with you, and just a thought that I had. If you'd like to turn, and this one isn't noted in your bulletin, but it's a thought that I had, and I wanted to share it with you. From Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, and this is a passage that I refer to a lot, because it makes me think of one of the most precious gifts that I have ever received myself. Second only to my salvation. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Verse 22, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your name, in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" Verse 23, if you haven't highlighted this one yet, grab a highlighter. "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" When I think about that, when it says, "I never knew you," does that mean that Jesus doesn't even know your name? I think that's exactly what it says. "I never knew you." It means He doesn't even know your name. 52 years ago today, I was given what I learned later on in life was one of the most precious gifts that I would ever be given. I'm not talking about life. I'm talking about my name. Rudy William Hamister. Now, I didn't know how special that gift was to me 52 years ago. And I probably didn't figure it out until I was a teenager. But Rudy William Hamister is my grandfather. Now, later on in life, when I started digging around with genealogies and such, I found out he actually had a fourth name that I never knew about. I don't think Grandma knew about it either. Rudy William Edward Hamister. Don't know where the Edward comes from. One of the things that I used to do as I was learning how important that name was to me, and let me back up. My grandfather, I've never met him. He died when my father was a little boy. And I was the first of a lot of grandkids, the first of everything in my family, the first child, the first grandchild, the first everything. You know, that's kind of a special place in a family. And I've honored that. I've been honored by that. And it means a lot to me. But I didn't realize that when I was around, I would remind my grandmother of the husband she lost when she was a young mother with a lot of kids. I used to go up to the cemetery and look at my grandfather's headstone and see my name there, Rudy William Hamister. And I often thought, is he proud of me? Does he know me? because having his name meant something to me. And I wanted him to be proud of me. I wanted him to know me. And I would think about that. And I still do, obviously. And I wonder, has Mom met him now? I don't know. Not sure how that other side completely works. Not all laid out for us very clear in God's Word. But one day we'll all know. But as important as my name is, it's more important that I'm a Christian, that I wear God's Son's name. And I don't know if my grandfather can look down on me, if that's even a fair way to say it, but you know, that's kind of the romantic part of us. I don't know if he can. I rather doubt it, to be honest with you. But I know that God can. I know that God's Son can. And I know that I am connected directly with him because of the precious gift of the Holy Spirit and because of the Word revealed to us. And that means everything to me. Because you know what? Even if my grandfather could look down and see his grandson who carries his name, there isn't anything he could do for me. But the Son of God can. He intervenes by His Spirit. He intervenes by His Word. He intervenes through this sweet fellowship. And that's the gift I want you to experience. If you're here today and you haven't unwrapped that most precious gift yet, the gospel, your soul salvation through obedience to the gospel, I should more specifically say, through baptism, I want this to be the most merry Christmas for you that it possibly can be. But you have to receive the most precious and the most important gift first. And that's your salvation. If you're here today and you need to unwrap that gift from God, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?